Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Acts chapter 13. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that he gave them judges for about 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.' From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus, after John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. for those who dwell in Jerusalem and the rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Therefore he also says in another psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, go, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds watching over their flocks by night, and out of the darkness there rose a heavenly light. Feared and they trembled when high above the earth rang out an angel chorus telling of the Savior's birth. Singing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Lesson 102, The First Missionaries. In our last lesson, we learned about Herod's attack on the Christian church and how God destroyed this proud and godless man. We also came to realize that even though the church was being persecuted, that did not stop the word of God from spreading even further. Today we shall see how God raised up the first missionaries to step out in faith and carry the gospel to new areas. There were several teachers and prophets meeting with the church in Antioch, and these men were ministering to the Lord and fasting when the Holy Spirit indicated that Barnabas and Saul were to be separated for the work of spreading the gospel. The church obeyed the directing of the Holy Spirit, and after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on these two men and sent them away. There are several things we can learn from this passage about missionary work. First of all, notice that it was God the Holy Spirit who indicated who was to go into the work of the Lord. God's servants are chosen by God and not picked out by men. However, God did use the leading Christian men in Antioch to recognize and commend these men to the work of the Lord. Notice also that the call to service came after a season of prayer and fasting, and that the men chosen to serve were men who had already proved themselves in their service for Christ, having already spent more than 1 year in Antioch teaching the word to the church. There is no mention of money, salary, or even the location and type of work these men were to do. They definitely went out trusting in God for their support and for leading them where they should go and to whom they should preach. This is unlike the ordination and salaried positions that the churches today practice widely. It would be good for all churches to once again look here in the book of Acts for their guidance in recognizing God's servants or sending them forth to preach the gospel. If we want the blessing of the first century church, then we must be prepared to follow the same instructions of the Holy Spirit as they did. Saul and Barnabas began their missionary journey heading toward Cyprus by ship. After some traveling, they came to Paphos and met an important Roman official named Sergius Paulus, who wanted to hear the word of God from Barnabas and Saul. However, Elymas, the sorcerer, tried to resist the message and persuade Sergius to disregard the gospel. Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, rebuked Elymas sharply and struck him with blindness. When Sergius saw the miraculous discipline of God against Elymas, he became a believer, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. When Paul and Barnabas continued their journey back to the mainland, modern-day Turkey, their young companion John Mark left them and headed back home. Paul and Barnabas then came to Antioch in the region of Pisidia. In the synagogue of the Jews, they were invited to share a word of exhortation to the people. Paul preached to them how the Old Testament pointed forward to the coming of the Messiah, and that Jesus had fulfilled all that the prophets had been writing about the Messiah's rejection, suffering, and death. He then added how God had raised up Jesus from the dead and was seen for many days afterwards by his brethren from Galilee. This, he pointed out, was a fulfillment of what was prophesied in Psalm 2 and Psalm 16. Paul then invites them to believe in Jesus as their Messiah, to receive forgiveness of sins, and warns them if they do not heed God's call to repentance and faith, they would suffer the consequences spoken of by the Old Testament prophets. When the Gentiles heard Paul, they pleaded with him to preach to them the following Sabbath. Many of the Jews wanted Paul and Barnabas to continue with them and speak to them again. So the following Sabbath, almost the whole town came out to hear the word of God. But the Jews were filled with envy, so they resisted Paul and Barnabas with contradictions and harsh language. Paul explained to these envious Jews that he first had to bring the message to them, but since they did not count themselves worthy of eternal life, he would now take the message to the Gentiles, who were more disposed to hearing and believing the gospel. The Gentiles rejoiced that the message was coming to them, and many of them believed in Jesus as Savior. So the word of God continued to spread through their missionary work. The gospel is for everyone, but some people, the poor, humble, those who seek righteousness, are the people who tend to be very happy to hear and believe the gospel. It is the proud who reject God's love and mercy. When the Jews and prominent people of the city persecuted Paul and Barnabas, expelling them from their region, they left and shook the dust from their feet. The gospel has the effect of bringing great joy to those who embrace it gladly, but God's displeasure and judgment on those who reject it. Once they fulfilled their mission in that area, they moved on to another city to preach to more people. If we look carefully at the book of Acts, we will notice that the gospel made advances because God sent missionaries out to new areas, and they did not stay long in one place, but kept moving around. so more and more people could hear. Today, we also need people who are willing to take the gospel to new areas. Will you go? Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Acts chapter 13, verse 3.
Yes, I was a seeker. I sought Him both night and day. Asked the Lord to help me. He showed me the way. Down in a manger, the humble child was born. God sent us salvation on that Christmas morning. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we learned about the first missionaries that the Holy Spirit called from among the Christians at Antioch, and how these two men, Paul and Barnabas, went to new areas proclaiming the gospel message to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and this caused many more to be added to the church. Someone might ask the question, how does the church recognize and send forth missionaries? The pattern we learn in Acts chapter 13 should be the basis for how a missionary is recognized and then sent into missionary work. While we talked about this subject briefly in our lesson today, let's take another careful look at this subject, for it is important for the church to practice according to the pattern of Scripture and not by the decisions or wisdom of men. When the church was fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit made the call for two men to be separated. Notice that God works in the church when the church is serious in its spiritual exercise. Perhaps the fasting and prayers were calling on God to reach out to save more souls, and in response, God directed the church to send out two missionaries. It is not likely that God will do much in a church that has little spiritual zeal. The Holy Spirit called for these two men to be separated. This teaches us that when someone is called by God, they need to be freed up from other responsibilities in the church or in their secular employment. They are separated from their current sphere of spiritual service so that they can be used by God in another place or in another way. For the gospel to be spread all over the world, the Lord needs to have those Christians who are willing to be separated, willing to leave loved ones, willing to leave job and career, willing to leave the familiar comforts of home, and even our Christian friends with whom we fellowship. This separation is part of the sacrifice a missionary must make and helps to reflect the importance of the gospel to the people to whom he will preach. But then, can anyone who wants to go to the mission field go? Our question is about how to recognize a missionary, and that happens when the church is sensitive to the directing of the Holy Spirit. A clear evidence of someone called to mission work is seen in what they have already been doing to support the spread of the gospel. If it can be clearly seen that God has been using someone to bring people to Christ, and they show a zeal to share the gospel with others, and they have been living to please the Lord, then it would not be too difficult for the church to acknowledge God's gifting and directing. Notice that when the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to be separated for the work, He did not specify which place these men would go. Often we hear of people who feel strongly burdened about going to some particular location. Well, that might be their burden, but here in the Scriptures we do not see emphasis on where the missionary is called to serve, but rather the emphasis is on God separating them for a work. This tells us that the missionary will go out trusting in the Lord, with no guarantees about where they will be or how support will come to them. Just imagine Paul and Barnabas heading on a ship to unknown areas without any certainty of how they will manage financially, where they will go, or whether the people would even receive and hear them. With all these things being unknown to them, it is remarkable that they cast their trust in the Lord and went out in faith. Today, many missionaries go to a mission board who have carefully laid out plans about where the missionary is to serve and exactly what he will do in his service and how much salary he will receive for his work. This does not sound at all like the mission work found in the book of Acts and removes the important element of trusting the Lord. If a person cannot trust the Lord for guidance and support, then how can they be certain that what they are doing is in fact the Lord's work and not just the work of men? The pattern given to us here in Acts is rather clear. The church, when given to serious prayer for the lost and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and confirms the clear usefulness and proven track record of one already serving in the gospel, and all things confirm the call to go forth to serve in the gospel, the church will recognize and rejoice in God's call and commend that person to the work of the Lord. This does not imply financial obligation or a dependency on the church, for the missionary must go out trusting the Lord for their support. However, any church that is exercised to support the gospel and send out missionaries would desire to share in the fellowship of the mission through financial gifts, as the Lord enables them to do so. Today, God is still sending forth missionaries, and if we follow the pattern we see in Acts, the world would be evangelized in just a few short years. How are you supporting mission work? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the full of God. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
There's a call comes ringing for the restless way. Send the light. Send the souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. That blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light.